Amen, amen, and happy Monday morning. If you notice, I am standing here and not over there. I'm here, and that means that they're letting me actually say some other things. They never let me really do this, except for maybe like every other year. This is year 7, so that means I've gotten to do this 3 times. I'm a little rusty, so I need an icebreaker. So we made this CD, right? Right? The word on the street is that people don't buy CDs anymore, so I have to somehow trick you into going out and buying this. The point is, we don't make a lot of money on these. We're just trying to cover our costs. So in order to get you really excited, my icebreaker is this. Somebody needs to have a CD. Take one. Up in the balcony. And back over there. Whoop. 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 All right. All right. All right. It helps me to stretch in order to not be nervous. All right. So, that's a little resurrection life, right? So we've been through Easter. We celebrated Easter. And now the question is not only how do we celebrate Easter, but how do we actually live the resurrection? And that is what we're going to be thinking about. I've got some nice pictures for you to look at this morning in light of the fact that it's Earth Week. Anybody care about that? Anybody part of that? So the topic that I thought I'd narrow it down to is the idea, what I call spiritual geography or spiritual space. And I could talk about that in terms of what I do over here with a guitar as a worship leader. If I just led a list of songs, that could be a nice little jukebox, move through some songs. But the question is not just is there songs, but is there a kind of leadership like what Noah and Emily and the band did this morning? That actually invites people into a space, into a geography where we're near God. This building itself, this chapel, is designed architecturally in the inspiration of the great cathedrals of Europe to welcome us in. A lot of what worship leading is creating a space. It's a kind of hospitality, how to welcome people in. And then this room causes our hearts and our eyes to look upward. So this is what we call a sacred space. And maybe you have your own favorite sacred spaces. Maybe it's this chapel. Maybe there's a chapel or a church back at your hometown. Maybe it's a place outdoors. So this is a very special place to me. This is the farm where I grew up in central Illinois. And to most people, this might not look very special. As a matter of fact, what they call the Central Plains. Some people, have you heard this term of the flyover states? You guys heard that? Because it seems to most people when you're driving down these interstates to be very boring. So if you're gonna head down Interstate 57 through the center of the state of Illinois, you'd see this kind of geography to your left and your right, and you'd think there's not much to see other than corn and soybeans. But I grew up driving tractors and through these fields and mowing pastures. And this space, this geography for me, it crept into my adolescent imagination, into my soul. It became a source of freedom and joy because I could watch those seeds take plant and turn into green carpets. And then I could watch those carpets get bigger and bigger and then slowly age and dry and prepare for harvest. And that was a space, an open, wide space that shaped and formed me spiritually. I started to notice this connection between geography and worship in the Psalms, in the poetry of the Psalms, specifically in Psalm 23. It's the one that we all know, that he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters, and that in that geography, that's the place where he restores my soul. But then I saw it in Psalm 18. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support, and he brought me out into a broad space, a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted me. And then Psalm 31, and have not delivered me into the hand of my enemy, and you have set my feet in a broad place, And again, Psalm 118, out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me, and he set me in a broad place. As we've been walking through the Gospel of Mark, it's very clear that we could read the Gospel of Mark through the geography, the spiritual movements of the gospel story. We can see spiritual geography in the death and the resurrection of Christ. So for example, at the end of the gospel in Mark 16, the chapter we've been looking at mostly in the last week or so, in a passage we've already visited, the two Marys, along with Salome, have gone to anoint Jesus' body with spices. They go to the tomb, the stone is rolled away, but the tomb is empty. Someone who must have been an angel, dressed in a white robe, tells them that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so then it's a spiritual geography. So they went out from the tomb. They fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And the resurrection itself is a kind of movement of places. Jesus, like these women, fled from the tomb, from darkness and from a tightly closed place, out into the broad and spacious places. And at the ending of the Gospel of Mark, we see this movement and how it so clearly bookends the whole of the gospel. So if we go back to chapter 1, we can see that creating a space for God was the very heart of this gospel. And we can see that. Was there already pictures up there? Shouldn't have been pictures. Good. It's working. Technology works for me sometimes. So, the very beginning, John the Baptist says, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in a wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Lower the mountains and raise the valleys. Make a highway for our God. Give us space. Give us a broad way to get near God." So we can consider the movements of Jesus and his disciples through the gospel. And when we watch all these people flock to follow him, and when we watch women come to anoint him, these could be nice stories in a book somewhere in the past, or this gospel could be about us, about you and about me. Are you trapped in a dark, cramped space? Or are you in a broad, spacious place? How near or how far are you from God? What place are you in today? Are you buried in a tomb? Are you surrounded by enemies? Or are you coming near to Jesus to anoint him with your perfumes and spices, with your own extravagances, to anoint him, to draw near him with your affections and your love? Now, the truth be told, much of my own spiritual geography does not locate me intimately close to the person of Jesus. It might be a bubble burster for you, thinking, I'm the worship guy. My life is filled with dryness, just like everybody else. Nor is my life always intensely hidden in some dark place where I'm running intentionally away from God either. Lots of times I just find myself in a place of boredom where I'm largely indifferent to God because I get busy and I get preoccupied with other things and my soul is left in a numb place or a state of disrepair. I've often found myself so distant from God that I find myself saying, now how did I get here? This isn't where I thought I would be. Why did I get so bored? How did I get so anxious? So for the last few years, I've been volunteering as the chair of the board of this urban farm. About 3 years ago, there was a spot over on 30th and Pine that we transformed as a preschool. Anybody go to Zion Lutheran preschool here? No? All right, so we transformed. The farmer took this space and managed to make it so abundant that another developer came and asked us to take over this place, 2 acres of a parking lot on the north side, if you guys have been up to the Holland Town Center with that theater. And he came and he carved out all that space and he asked us to turn that into a garden. It was a wasteland. It was a place of emptiness. And in time, this place that nobody would have expected could ever be filled with abundance, it began to look like this. So the question for you might be, as you look at these pictures, how did I get here into this darkness, to this emptiness? And maybe, can you ever imagine this kind of abundance coming back into your life? How did I get here? This isn't where I thought I would be. How did this semester get so intense? How did I get so far behind in my work? How did I get onto this particular academic path? Why did I choose this major? This isn't what I thought my life should or could be like. Or how did this relationship get so physical? I didn't know we'd go this far. How did I get this far away from my parents, from my friends, from my siblings? Or how did my life get so distracted by all these other things, by the internet, by video games, by just whatever, fill in the blank? How did I get so unproductive? Why are there so many distractions in my life? Or why are my finances so troubling? How am I gonna dig myself out of this kind of debt? And so this kind of abundance might seem like a dream, something that you're far away from. But this is the resurrection life. This is what we're called to. Jesus says in John 10:10, I came to give you life and to give it abundant, that we don't live in the dark and cramped places, but we give ourselves over to God. So let's pray. We pray to you, O living one, the one who says to us, come, O barren lands, come to me, everyone who thirsts, come and drink of my waters, and I will turn your desert places into gardens. I will fill you with rich and good things, with fruit and with life and life abundant. In your holy name, amen. Thank you and go in peace.